It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, my friends. Take a Stand Radio is indeed on the air. This is Eric Barger. Thanks for joining me today as we continue to discuss the phenomena of Chrislam. I've selected a couple of clips from our audio soundtrack of the DVD teaching, The Deception of Chrislam, that I presented recently at Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries Understanding the Times Conference up in Minnesota. For more information about Islam and Chrislam, and for more information about how to obtain your own copy of the DVD teaching, The Deception of Chrislam, then visit our website, ericbarger.com, or call us at 214-289-5244. All right, we have a lot to listen to here today, so here's the first clip. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
The topic is the deception of Chrislam. Now, I know there are folks in this conference, because I've been talking to them, who have never heard that term before. It's a term that's been out quite a while, but it is a deception, the deception of Chrislam. How the American church, American Christians, are being deceived by Islam could really be the title of this. But now it's being called Chrislam. The combination, the combining, I call it the convolution of Christianity and Islam. If we're going to discuss false religions, a great place to start always is Galatians chapter 1. When people look at us and say, why are you guys so narrow? Why don't you just be a little more laid back, and, you know, try to take it easy, and can't you see there's good in all the world religions, and, you know, can't we all just get along, you know, the Rodney King theology? You know, what's wrong with you guys? You know, just calm down. When somebody says that, I say, look, we can't. We have a standard. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, I say now again, he said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye received, let him be accursed. Paul was telling them, they've received the one and only gospel that will ever be the gospel. And if he came back, let alone anybody else, and tried to give them a different message, they were to throw the bum out. There's only one message. There's only one gospel. And Paul said, test everything by the gospel you've already received, because it is the plumb line. And that is our responsibility, to test everything by the plumb line of the gospel. Now, Chrislam is a syncretic religion of Nigerian origin which mixes elements of both Christianity and Islam together. It doesn't date back very far, back in the 1980s, and there is some disagreement about how it began, but we do know that's as far back as we can track it. Chrislam says that Islam and Christianity, and of course Judaism, are Abrahamic, and thus that's what we have in common. That's what they say. They teach morals, ethics, and monotheism, both the religions, Christianity and Islam do that. And allegedly they both worship the same deity, and we're going to get into that in just a second. They believe the Bible and the Quran are alleged equals, since the same deity gave both of those. And they believe that both are paths to Allah or to God. In other words, they're saying we worship the same God, the books are the same, we ought to be able to get along and have mutual services together, mutual worship together. Now, I believe Chrislam is a heresy. Islam rejects the deity of Jesus Christ clearly. I believe Orthodox Muslims would say that Chrislam is a heresy. And so they reject the deity of Jesus Christ. How can we decide to worship alongside those who say that our Savior, the one who shed his blood for us and gave his life for us, the one who is the Savior of mankind, the only one who can save anybody, how can we decide to give that up? How can anyone who is honestly, authentically saved decide that there can be fellowship there? They reject the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that is clear in Surah chapter 4 in the Quran. And foolish Christians have gone as far as to equate Joshua's taking of Jericho with the Muslim practice of circling the Kaaba during the Hajj, which is one of the five pillars of Islam, something a Muslim must do during his lifetime. Perhaps the greatest refutation of Chrislam comes from the Quran itself. Islam denies the divinity of Jesus Christ. O people of the book, commit no excesses in your religion, nor say of Allah aught but the truth. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah. And his word, which he bestowed on Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles, say not Trinity. Detest, it will be better for you, for Allah is one Allah. Glory be to him, far exalted is he, above having a son. To him belong all things in heaven and earth. The Quran speaks of Jesus 97 times. It says he was born of a virgin, but it says he failed in his mission. They believe in the replacement theory that someone else went to the cross in Jesus' place. They believe he was a great prophet, a great messenger with great sayings. But they do not believe he was God incarnate. And they hold to the fact that the idea that there is no son of Allah.
Once again, everybody, this is Eric Barger, and you're listening to Take a Stand Radio. You're listening to my DVD message, The Deception of Chrislam. Now back to the message.
Is a question I think we have to answer here. Who is the God of Islam? And does the Bible harmonize with the Quran? Because these are things that Chrislam is built on. Who is the God of Islam? Who is this Allah, which is the Arabic word for God? Could the Muslim God be Jehovah God? And could we be wrong? Could somehow we have missed something along the way? Well, Muslim leaders hold to the position that there is only one God, but that the Bible has been altered, thus misrepresenting Allah. And you'll find this on page 2 of the Quran, the introduction pages. I have two copies of the Quran. They both say the same thing. They believe the Bible has been doctored and altered, and their word is, of course, the ultimate truth, and our Bible is not. Those willing to examine and compare the Bible and Jehovah against the Quran and Allah, including the Imams and the knowledgeable Muslims, understand the difficulty in claiming that Allah and Jehovah could be the same deity. I believe every Muslim cleric knows that Allah and Jehovah are not the same God, but they love the mileage they get out of it by those who are foolish or ignorant Christians, those who do not know the truth, or those in cultures that don't understand theirs. Sadly, the Catechism of the Catholic Church under Pope John Paul, item number 841, says this: the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, meaning the Catholics, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge, on the last day. And here's a picture of Pope John Paul kissing a Quran. So who is this Allah? If Allah of Islam is really Jehovah God, then the Quran and the Bible ought to be able to harmonize. You ought to be able to read them side by side. But try this on. In Surah chapter 4, it says, the hypocrites seek to deceive God, but it is he who deceives them. So it teaches that their God, their Allah, is a deceiver. They scheme, but God also schemes. God is most profound in his schemings. It appears to me that it's teaching their God is a schemer. And then it says, God revealed his will to the angels, saying, I shall cast terror into the hearts of the infidels. That's the people of the book, by the way. And you know what book they're talking about, don't you? I hope it's the one you got in your hands out there. Strike off their heads, strike off the very tips of their fingers. It would appear their God is a terrorist. I want to make this clear to you. This is not a hate campaign against Muslims. Jesus died for every single one of them. Let's never forget that. Thank God they're not all terrorists. Thank God most of them are what we call, for example, you know what a Jack Mormon is? A Jack Mormon is somebody whose name's on the roll but really doesn't believe what Mormons teach. They don't follow the line. Thank God most Muslims are Jack Muslims. They're not following the line. So this isn't a hate campaign. And thank God that I know they're being set free. I had a great conversation with Joel Rosenberg about this a few minutes ago. They're getting set free all over the world. It's wonderful. Thank God. So who is this Allah? Well, the God of Islam, Allah, is actually a deity of one of the many tribes from the 7th century in the Middle East, the deity of the Quraysh tribe. Now, Muhammad went into a cave to inquire which God he should worship, and in the cave he went into a trance state People today believe it might have been an epileptic seizure. And when he came to, he told those who he was with, because he was the leader of a tribe. He was the military. He was the spiritual leader. He was the political leader of a tribe. And he said that Gabriel had spoken to him, the angel Gabriel, and told him that he was to restore true religion to the world. It had been lost. And he now knew who the real God was. And he declared that his God, the God of the Koresh tribe, was the only true God, and commenced to bring war against anybody else that worshipped any other god. And there were over 300 such deities and their idols and icons being worshipped in the 7th century around the Kaaba. Once Muhammad took Mecca by the sword, he declared that his God, the moon god is what it's commonly called, was the true God above all gods. And we see the crescent moon and single star, the symbol of Islam, that's apparent on flags across the Muslim world. And that, you're probably aware, there are over 60 Muslim countries in the world that are dominated by Islamic doctrine and Islamic religion. We associate the crescent moon and single star, and we know this from history, with the Moabites from the 14th to the 6th century BC. It's a symbol of the Moabites, directly related to the cult of the god Mithra. The Koresh tribe appears to have adopted the star and the symbol as a fertility symbol, something that the polygamist Muhammad had taught as doctrine. And by the way, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I have a whole lot of slides that got taken out of this presentation for time that explain the similarities of Mormonism and Islam. And I have a whole list of those on our website. If you want to go find the document, you'll see it. Ed Decker and I compiled those together, and it is stunning when you look at it. So how could Christians align with Islam? It's because we are in the end times apostasy, and apostasy is becoming the norm, and it is rampant around us. We shouldn't be shocked when we see what's going on around us, folks. We shouldn't be shocked that we see the remnant gathered together like this from so many different places, from so many different church bodies, and from many that don't go to church because they can't find a church that preaches the gospel. We see them come together in these meetings, but let me tell you, the remnant is still standing, and the remnant is standing up, and the remnant is standing strong, and the remnant is still presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ whenever possible. Amen? So I don't want us to get caught up in doom and gloom, and I hope that you've seen that we can present these somewhat negative issues in a positive way, because this isn't about doom and gloom. This is pointing out where we are in time, and I think every Christian living in this day ought to be able to do that.
Well, these are surely the times the Apostle Paul warned of that would be perilous times, the times prophesied about just before the return of the Messiah. We're watching liberalism and even those who claim to be evangelicals do things we never thought they'd do, places we always thought we could trust that we can't trust anymore. We're facing an end times assault all around us, and certainly Chrislam is just such an assault that we see going on. But this doesn't change anything. Our commission from God is still the same as it always was. So take heart. Again, you're listening to Eric Barger. This is Take a Stand Radio with some selected clips from my new DVD teaching, The Deception of Chrislam. Now back to the last clip.
7 years ago, my wife and I were asked to go to Watertown, New York. We'd been there before, but the church that brought us in decided they wanted to do a public meeting, so they rented the Ramada Inn Ballroom in downtown Watertown. And they advertised the meeting really well. There was TV interviews, and TV news covered it. And I was on the radio, and I was in the newspaper, and flyers and posters all over town. And pastors had been passing out stuff, and they were bringing people in and all this. And it was a 3-day meeting. So I came in, and the first day I spoke on, I believe I spoke on spiritual warfare or maybe the most dangerous cult. And the second day I spoke on Harry Potter, Pokemon, and Hollywood. And the third night it was advertised I was going to speak on the truth about Islam. And when we checked in the hotel, I was staying right there in the hotel. We checked in the hotel. I saw a lot of Middle Eastern men in the hotel. And none of them were running around with a flyer in their hand that had my picture on it looking for me, going like this, you know. I didn't feel too nervous, but I wondered what was going to happen that last night when I'm speaking on Islam. And so a couple hundred people were in the room, and it was a kind of a long, narrow meeting room. And I'm up on a platform about this tall up in front, and I'm just about ready to start the presentation. And here came 15 or 20 of those Middle Eastern guys that came in and sat right down here in the first two rows to my right. Man, you could have felt the air in that room. If it would have slapped you in the face if you'd have walked through it. It was so thick, I'm not kidding you. You could have sold it outside, cut it in blocks, you know. So about 5 minutes into the presentation, after I had already said, look, this is not a hate campaign. We're here to discuss the differences of Islam and Christianity to see which one leads to eternal life. And that's what I say every time I speak on this. So after about 5 minutes into the presentation, I looked at these guys and I said, are you gentlemen Muslims? And they shook their head. So I would give a fact about Islam and I would look at them and say, is that right? And one of the guys became their speaker. He was right on the end. And he went, yes, sir, that's right. And I would give another fact about Islam. And I would ask him, is that right? He went, yes, sir, that's right. And I would give another fact. And I would say, is that right? And he would go, yes, sir, that's right. He's looking down at this point. And I give another fact. And finally, he's just shaking his head. Because I had two former Muslims go through my presentation to make sure I had everything right and understood the terms and how to pronounce them and so on, because it was foreign to me when I first learned about this. And finally, I get to the end of the presentation after I've been nailing this again and again, talking about what they believe. And I said, the Bible, the Quran says that over and over throughout the Quran, four times it says that someone, a martyr, will get virgins, fruit, wine, and song when they go into paradise. I said, it says it four times. And the fellow who's been answering me all night, at this point he's waving his arm going, sir, sir, excuse me, sir. And I went, yes, what is it? He says, it doesn't say it four times, it says it five times. And they all laughed. Boy, did we need that right about then. So I decided, okay, enough of Islam. Those men are not going to leave this room without hearing my testimony and how to be saved. And so I turned my slides off. And I began to talk about how my wife and I have been delivered from darkness and how we've been drug addicts and alcoholics and New Agers and my wife into witchcraft and how our lives were a complete mess. And then we accepted by our choice, if you will, we said yes to Jesus. And he came in and changed us. You see, there's no way out of Islam for some people. There's no way out for them. They can't be free of their sins through Islam. The only way that a Muslim knows, positively knows, he gets to paradise is through martyrdom. They're stuck. They're so stuck. It's all about their works. And I knew that, and I just preached about the grace and mercy of God and how he saved us and changed us. And I asked them all to bow their heads, and I knew none of those guys were going to budge. But I gave an invitation, preached the gospel during the invitation. Nobody moved. Nobody said a word. I said amen, and all I could think about was getting my computer shut down to get back to my wife at the book table. No, actually, I was going to shut my computer down and run. No. That was not what I was going to do. I was going to get back to my wife at the book table, who'd been directly back in my line of sight through the whole presentation, and I know what she's thinking at this point. And so I shut my computer down, and while I'm doing so, in my peripheral vision, the guy who's been talking to me all night bounds out of his seat and runs up onto the platform and throws his arms around me and hugs me. I'll never forget it. And he said something to me with his arm, and I'm a hugger, so I hugged back, you know. And he said something to me I'll never forget as long as I live. He said, until tonight, I thought Christians hated us. And I must have blurted out something about, no, we love you. Jesus loves you. I don't know what I said exactly, but. And we walked down off that platform, and he was about 5 feet tall. And I'm not very tall, but, you know, with my arm around him and his around me. Have you ever seen a movie where all of a sudden everybody in a crowded room stops and their eyes are focused on one person or whatever? That's what happened. Everybody was talking and they stopped and watched us as we walked back that aisle to the book table. The closer I got to my wife, the bigger her eyes got. And we stood around the book table for a little while and conversing and talking. And And he said, I'm staying here in the hotel, and I have a gift for you in my room. I want to go and get it. And I'm going, oh, boy. And so he goes up to his room and comes back down with a beautiful print of a painting he had painted. Man, it was awesome. So I felt like I needed to reciprocate somehow. So I gave him one of everything off my book table. It just did my heart so much good to see this guy walking through the hall with the bags of these evangelical DVDs, you know. Here he is going off. And do you know what those guys were doing in that hotel? They were advisors to our lieutenants and sergeants at Fort Drum, New York, explaining the customs of the Muslim world. They were on our side in the war on terror. You just never know, folks. You just never know. We don't know who we're going to affect, do we? We don't know when they're going to come in just and sit right before us. We don't know. We don't know. Well, I'm out of time, and I had a few more things I wanted to say, but let me give you this. Jesus can set Muslims free. He's doing it. He is setting Muslims free. And you know, the great contrast is this, that God sent his only son to die for us, but Allah demands that Muslims send their sons to die for him. Think about that. Allah is not Jehovah. The Bible does not harmonize with the Quran. Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. And Chrislam is neither Christian nor Muslim. The most outstanding difference, however, is that Muhammad is dead and buried, and Jesus is alive. Amen. Connect hands. Amen. I'll close by saying this. When I was speaking with Joel Rosenberg a few minutes ago, he said something so profound, I came out and made a slide up that you didn't see it because of time here. But he said something to me that just struck me. Here we are at a time when more Muslims are being saved than at any other time in history, and the church is trying to figure out how they can accept Islam. What an irony. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? So this is why we need to be vocal and speak up and warn others. Amen. You've been great. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Hello, everybody. This is Eric Barger back in the studio again, and you're listening to Take a Stand Radio. We've been listening to my DVD message, The Deception of Chrislam, today recorded up at Jan Markell's conference recently. You can get your own copy of this by calling us at 214-289-5244 or by visiting our safe and secure online bookstore at ericbarger.com. There's also a companion DVD called The Truth About Islam that might interest you. So those are the two DVDs that we're offering this week. Well, this ministry is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas. We are funded completely by the free will gifts of our friends and our supporters. We wouldn't be here without you. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much. I'm glad you tuned in today. Please join me again next week for Take a Stand Radio. This is Eric Barger reminding you to take your stand this week on the precious Word of God. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.